Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning and consider the message you would have us to learn, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here and that we will listen. And most of all, dear Lord, may we go away with a desire to serve you more. It's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an old saying that says that if it doesn't rain, it pours. And I'm sure that this could be said of the way that they may have felt, that Jesus may have felt when this situation took place. They just had a rotten night out in the boat, been a storm. What more could happen? What more could go wrong? What else could happen? If you have your Bibles, come with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And beginning with verse 1, we read these words. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Galileans. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. In all ways, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What an individual. What a situation to find yourself dealing with. They had just come ashore. There they stood, dusting themselves off and looking around and taking in the scene. And then all of a sudden, you find this lunatic running towards you. What would you do? What would you do? I think if we were there, I'm sure we would have all done what the disciples probably did. Back off. Run. I don't think I would have stood there for too long. After all, this person was well known. He was strong. He had a reputation. He couldn't be tamed. And before we tear into this man, let us ask ourselves the question, but how many of us are perfect? How many of us have faults and failings? None of us are perfect. And he certainly wasn't. But this was a bad case, and there was a question of, but hey, what do we do here? And it seems as though as we read this passage that all who knew this man had come to the conclusion that, hey, there's nothing we can do. Hopeless. Hopeless case. Just stay away from him. Keep him at a distance. Don't get involved. But we come to verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He ran and worshipped him. As you look at this scene, you're taking the scene of this man, this madman, this lunatic, kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was still standing there. As you're taking this scene, what you see is that Jesus has got total, complete control. Jesus is always in control. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus always has control? That when we are going through a tough spot, that Jesus still has control? It's easy to say that when things are going well, but when things are tough, things are hard, it's a bit more difficult to say that Jesus has got control. And yes, Jesus has got control. In Him we can put our faith and trust. And so we see in this scene, this madman at the feet of Jesus, Jesus is in total control. In verse 7 and 8, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, our Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." It is interesting to note in these two verses, the man knew who Jesus was. Or more to the point, the demons knew who Jesus was. We read that the demons know and that they tremble. They tremble at Jesus. They tremble at God. But the point is, they know. Do we know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do we tremble or do we look at Him with love, knowing that He loves us? And do we know that He is wanting to care for us even today? Do we know Jesus? Verse 9 to 12. And we find that Jesus asked him the question, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought them, and he besought him much that he would not send them out into the far country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." Here we find that the demons have been identified. It's called legion. They are many. What we find that we're not just dealing with one, we're dealing with many. And they were not going to budge very easily. They were going to do a little bit of bargaining with Jesus. And even though they were able to do the bargaining, we need to remember who has control. Jesus. Jesus has control. Jesus is always in control. And as the demons stood there bargaining with Jesus, I saw the pigs, I saw the swine, and I asked the question, can we go to them? Let us go there. Verse 13. Interesting to notice what happens. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked into the sea. And so we see that Jesus allowed them to go into the swine. But what do we see happening? We see the swine going into the sea and drowning. Drowning. What kind of a reward is that? They were allowed to go into the swine. Why not? Why not give the swine an easy time? Why drown? And here is a lesson that we need to learn. You see, the devil is not out to give a good time. The devil is only there to destroy. And here we've got a classic example of what is the reality of playing with the devil. He destroys. He is only happy to see people who are destroyed, who are killed. And we need to remember that the devil sees you and me in the same way. He wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see you belong to him, for the only reason being that when he gets destroyed, you'll be destroyed with him. No future in that. Not for anyone. What seemed so good and so innocent could only lead to destruction. We see on the radio how many times that people are saying, you know, drink is advertised as such a wonderful thing, alcohol. Yet they say, well, a different story it would be if people could only see the end results, what the doctors and nurses have to face. So try and patch up the teenagers who come in drunk. I have a niece who is a sister, nursing sister. And she used to work in emergency. She used to say how many times of a Saturday night. You see the young people getting dragged in, carted in, completely sozzled. And for some odd reason, the girls cope a lot worse than the blokes. A lot harder to handle. And that's only alcohol. Drugs. What a mess it makes of people's lives. And I think it's going to be a wonderful high time. The devil is not out to give people high times. He's only out to destroy. He's only out to destroy. And can you imagine the reaction of those who own the pigs? Come with me now to verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And I began to pray him to depart out of their country. Leave us. Can you imagine them coming out to the scene and looking at the 2,000 pigs floating out the sea, dead? Their livelihood gone. And then there was a madman now in his right mind. For them, I guess understandably, it was too much to handle. And how often in life we have situations that we think, this is just too much to handle. Don't push the issue. Don't push the issue. It's just too much to handle. Just leave us alone. Leave. You've upset the situation. You've done something we cannot cope with. We want our space, and it doesn't include you. So please leave us alone. Just go, that we can come to grips with what has happened. Go. Just go. Can you relate to that? Sometimes we all do need space, do we not? And here Jesus is prepared, he is willing, he is prepared to give them the space that they are needing. But you see, he doesn't leave it at that. Yes, he'll give them the space. And now we come to a touching scene that is so beautiful in all of this. 18 and 19. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed by the devil prayed to him that he might go with him, he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee, and has had compassion on thee. Here Jesus is at the boat. He is about to leave. The man who has been healed wants to go with him. Understandable. Very understandable. Jesus had done a wonderful thing for him. Made him whole. Given him back his life. Put his life back together again. He's now in his right mind. He knows who his Saviour is. He loves him. He wants to spend time with him. He wants to learn more of him, about him, from him. But what does Jesus tell him? Go back. Go back. Go and tell what I have done for you. That's all. That was all. Go and share with others your story. Did the man know all the doctrine and how to be saved? No. Did he have his theology in the correct order? Probably not. But what he did know was what Jesus had just done for him. That's all he knew. Question. What has the Lord done for you? Do you have a story to tell? It may be just a simple story, but if that is the case, then your simple story, it is all that you are required to tell. But are you willing to tell it? Are you willing to share it? It may have been tempting to think that Jesus would have taken this man and taught him the truth before letting him loose on the people. But see, Jesus knew that he had in this man a faithful witness. Why? He'd just be saved. And so he challenged him to tell his story. And he did. He did. For in Mark 5, 20 and 21, we read these words. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how the great things that Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. As we read these words, we get a picture of a man who was faithful in telling his story. He told his story. For we read that when Jesus came again, there was a group of people who were willing to hear him. And we rejoice in what happened. And really, for this little story, this is the end of the story. For what it is written. But in reality, it was only the beginning. You see, it all began with one healing. And one man who was willing to share simply what Jesus had done for him. And in the sharing of it, others were willing to listen. Others who were willing to listen, and they were willing to meet Jesus. And after having their experience with Jesus, I wonder how many of those would have gone out and shared with others again their story. And then it would have multiplied even more. You know, we are all sitting here today because we have all at some point met Jesus. True? Do you remember that meeting you had when you first met with Jesus? Do you remember how it all began? Because for you, that is for you, your story. Have you shared it? Have you shared with someone your story? Because often when we think of this particular story that we just looked at this morning, all too often we focus on the healing. And yes, it is a very important part. But this morning, for me, I want to focus on the fact that the man was willing to share his story. And it was through the sharing of that story that it was to have an impact. Other people were willing to listen. People were changed for the better. And when Jesus came the second time, there was an audience that was ready and willing to listen. My challenge today for you, be willing to share your story. Be willing to share what the Lord has done for you. And in the sharing of that story, others may be saved for the kingdom of God. What has the Lord done for you? What has He really done for you? Share it with someone today. Share it with someone this week. And allow God to lead in your life and in the lives of the one you share it with. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace, how You transform our lives and make us new. May we, dear Lord, be willing to share our stories of what You've done for us, so that others may come to know You too. Bless us now for this week by Your presence. Guide us and keep us safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.